Scripture Stories is a program for you, the children. As you listen, remember that these stories are about real people who lived long ago. Along with us, you'll find these stories in the Scripture Storybooks published by The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Have your mother, father, teacher, or a friend help you find the story and invite them to read along with you too. If you remember last week, we learned about the brass plates and traveling in the wilderness. Do you remember Lehi's family needed the brass plates?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who helped Nephi get the brass plates?
Laban's servant, Zoram.
That's one of the guys, huh? Lots of people helped him.
And the Lord.
That's right. Go ahead, Daniel.
Nephi.
Yes, that's right. Nephi did get the brass plates. And the Lord did help Nephi get the brass plates. Because remember, his brothers were beating him up and mad that they were trying to sell their gold and silver for the brass plates. Remember that? And then an angel came down and said, "Stop whacking your brother. That's naughty." And Nephi said, "We've got to be brave. We got to go back and try again. And the Lord's going to help me." Remember? And then he went in, and that's the ooey gooey part. Remember what happened?
Yeah.
What happened?
He had to kill Laban.
He didn't want to, but the Spirit told him that he had to, so that his family could have the scriptures, huh? Yeah, so that they wouldn't turn into dummies in the wilderness. All right, so what are some of the challenges that Lehi and his family encountered in the wilderness? Go ahead, Megan.
The lack of food and water and shelter and stuff like that.
Yeah, that's a big challenge. Go ahead, TJ.
Nephi broke his bow, so he had to get a new one.
That's right, and that would be scary if you're starving to death, huh?
They probably had no food. They were probably hungry, tired.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Nephi had to put up with his brothers torturing him all the time.
Very true. They kept tying him up and beating him up and all kinds of things, huh?
Yeah, that was pretty tough.
So, do you remember a very cool thing? The Liahona? Do you guys remember that?
Yeah.
The brass ball? What did that thing do? Go ahead, Wes.
It acted like a compass.
Yeah, it acted like a compass. And how did it work?
If they were righteous, it would point them in the right direction to go.
That is exactly right. Go ahead, Kaylin.
If they were faithful and loving to each other, then the Liahona worked.
That's exactly right. Yes, Megan?
And if they were the total opposite of that, then it wouldn't work.
It didn't work. And do you remember something very cool about the Liahona? That it had writing on it, and sometimes the writing did what? It changed. Maybe it was a digital readout. Who knows? Do you think it was technology?
No.
Or the Lord's power?
Lord's power.
We don't know, but it was super cool. They'd never seen anything like it. And Nephi called it curious workmanship. Do you remember that from the story? Mm-hmm. And it worked on faith. So what has Heavenly Father given us to point the way back to Him? Kind of like a Liahona. What has He given us? Go ahead.
The Scriptures?
Yes, the Scriptures. That's a good one. Is there other things that He helps to point us back? Go ahead, TJ.
The Holy Ghost.
That's a big one, the Holy Ghost. Kaylin?
He put His church so we can help, so we can go and live with Him again.
That's a good one. The organization of the church can really help us know what to do to get back to Heavenly Father. Yes, Megan?
The power of praying.
That's huge. Revelation. Anytime we want to know something, we can pray to Heavenly Father, and He will give us an answer, won't He? Yes, Wes?
The word of wisdom and the Ten Commandments.
Yes, He gives us commandments to keep our minds clear and our bodies healthy and our spirits strong and healthy, too. Go ahead.
Sometimes when I see the temple, it makes me feel better.
And so that's kind of like a Liahona for you? It points your mind back to Heavenly Father?
Yep.
That's wonderful.
The priesthood.
That's a good one. Daniel?
The prophet.
Yes. Oh, definitely. We have a living prophet. That's so special because anytime the Lord wants to tell us something, He can tell the prophet and the prophet can tell all of us, right?
Sweet. That's great. All right. So
tell me again. Now, you already know this because you kind of told me before, but where can we find the words of Christ? Say it all together.
The Scriptures.
That is right. In the Scriptures. That's where we can find them. Now, this week, we're going to learn more about Lehi and Nephi, which I'm excited about because I'm reading this in my personal study, too. Children at home, please turn to your Book of Mormon Stories, Chapter 6, to page 18, and read along with us about Lehi's dream.
My life is a gift. Choice was to come to this lovely home on earth and seek for God's light to direct me from birth. I will follow God's plan for me, holding fast to His word and His love. I will work and I will pray.
Lehi told his family about an important vision he had had in a dream. Lehi's dream made him happy for Nephi and Sam, but sad for Laman and Lemuel.
In his dream, Lehi saw a man wearing a white robe who told Lehi to follow him. Lehi followed the man into a dark and dreary wilderness.
After traveling in the darkness for many hours, Lehi prayed for help.
Then he saw a tree with white fruit. The sweet fruit made those who ate it happy.
Lehi ate the fruit and it filled him with joy. He wanted his family to taste the fruit because he knew it would make them happy too.
That's right. That fruit sounds so good. I would love to taste that fruit. Would you like to taste that fruit?
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Absolutely. Why did Lehi want his family to eat the fruit of the tree of life? Go ahead, Caitlin.
He wanted them to be happy like he was happy when he ate it.
That's right. Are there any other reasons why he might want them to eat the fruit? Yes, Megan.
He wanted them to have the same feeling, the warm, comforting feeling that he had.
That's right. He wanted them to experience his joy. Go ahead.
Maybe it really tasted good, so he wanted his family to taste it too.
Fruit salad. Yummy, yummy. Go ahead.
Perhaps it also helped them believe in Christ a bit more.
Sure, to help them build their testimony. Yeah, those are all good reasons. So what does Heavenly Father, because He is our Father, just like Lehi is his kid's father, what does He want for all His children? Yes, Megan.
He wants us to live a righteous life, and He wants us to live, all of us to live with Him again.
Yes, He does. Yes, Caitlin.
He wants us to feel like we partook of the tree of life. He wants us to feel happy.
Yes, absolutely. He wants us to be happy, huh? So why do you think that some of Lehi's sons wanted to eat the fruit, and they did, and some of them chose not to eat the fruit? TJ?
Because they just wanted to disobey their father, and they really didn't like to obey their father.
Yeah, I think that's a good part of it. Yes, Wes?
They didn't believe in Christ as much as Lehi and Nephi did, so they felt like it wouldn't do them any good to just eat fruit. So they figured, oh, why do this when I can just go off and do something else more productive?
And maybe they thought it was foolish. So what was it that they didn't have that Nephi had a lot of? Caitlin?
Faith.
Yes, that's true. They didn't have a lot of faith. Okay, let's get back to our story.
Lehi saw a river flowing near the tree. At the head of the river, he saw Sariah, Sam, and Nephi.
Lehi called to his wife and sons to come and taste the fruit. Sariah, Sam, and Nephi went and tasted the fruit, but Laman and Lemuel would not.
Lehi also saw a rod of iron and a straight and narrow path leading to the tree.
He saw many people walking on or toward the path. Because of a mist of darkness, some wandered off the path and became lost.
Others held tightly to the iron rod and made it through the darkness to the tree. They tasted the fruit.
People in a large building on the other side of the river made fun of those who ate the fruit. Some who had eaten the fruit became ashamed and left the tree.
Lehi saw many people in his dream. Some held firmly to the iron rod and traveled through the darkness to the tree. They tasted the fruit. Others went to the large building or drowned in the river or became lost. Laman and Lemuel would not eat the fruit. Lehi worried about them and tried to help them obey God's commandments.
Yeah, that just sounds awful. Would it be embarrassing to you if you were eating the fruit and people were making fun of you? Has that ever happened in real life? Yes, Wes.
Actually, previously I have been picked on a lot, and people have laughed at me for things that I have done. And sometimes when I'm just sitting around doing work or something else, people will just come up and make fun of me, and it's really hurtful.
Do you think that you'd be brave enough to keep doing the right thing, even if people were making fun of you for doing the right thing? Go ahead, Megan.
Well, yeah, like him, I have a problem in school. I am almost 11, and I am not over 4'5". And most of the kids in my class are like 4'11". And so I do get picked on a lot, but I just stand my ground because it's something that I was born with.
That's wonderful. What about a time when you stood up for righteousness or stood up for the church? Go ahead, Caitlin.
It was when my friend, her dog died and she was really sad, and so she wouldn't talk or on the phone or anything. So my mom drove me over there and I told her that because of the resurrection, her dog can come back again.
Oh, that's wonderful.
And live with her again.
Oh, that's so cute. So now, you know there's different things in Lehi's dream. And do you know what the different symbols mean in Lehi's dream? What does the fruit of the tree represent? Wes?
Eternal life and living with God again.
Mm-hmm. Is there anything else that we understand from the scriptures what it represents? Something that Nephi told us a little later about what the tree represents?
I think it represents going back to heaven with Jesus.
It does. And specifically, it represents the love of God, which all those things are the love of God. He wants the happiness for his children, for us to return to him, right? So the tree is the love of God. Do you remember what the iron rod is? Megan?
It was the word of God and a little passageway that we can hold on to. We may not have a rod in real life, but the rod in our lives can be this church and staying to the church and living up with him again.
That's wonderful. What else is the word of God? What is the word of God that we can cling to help us get back?
Our scriptures?
Yes, the scriptures, like what we're reading right now. The scriptures are the word of God. Where else can we get the word of God? TJ.
Through the prophets.
Yes, through the prophets. And what else?
In prayer.
And prayer. Good. Personal revelation, prophets, scriptures. And nowadays, we even have magazines that can give us the word of God, huh? That give us the messages of the prophets and the general authorities? Yeah, absolutely. So tell me, does anyone know what is the mist of darkness that came up? Do you remember that in the story? The mist of darkness came up and people were losing their way and getting confused. Daniel?
Satan's temptations.
Very good. That's exactly right. Satan's temptations. It's easy to lose your way with Satan's temptations, just like a mist of darkness. Have you ever been in the fog and tried to see in front of you? Have you ever been in a heavy fog? I grew up in a place where sometimes we got really heavy fog. And if you were driving, it was dangerous because you could barely see in front of you. You had to pick your way through. It was so much harder than a nice, sunny, clear day. When we are free from the temptations of Satan, is it kind of like a nice, sunny, clear day? Mm-hmm. Yeah, we can see a lot better, huh?
So
Stand by your conscience, your honor, your faith. Stand like a hero and battle till death. Dare, dare, dare to do right. Dare, dare, dare to be true. Dare to be true. Dare to be true.
What are some ways that Satan can confuse us and lead us astray like the mist of darkness? Megan.
He can tempt us through, like, the internet and the TV and bad things like that on the TV and internet.
Yeah, he can use the media to lead us astray. Go ahead, Wes.
He can tempt us to swear and take the Lord's name in vain.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes he can tempt us through our friends, even though I wouldn't call them friends if they were doing that to you.
Yeah, exactly. Sometimes he can tempt us through people who pretend to be our friends. He can tempt us in very many ways. So we always have to be on the lookout. He's a very tricky man. Okay, in what ways does Satan tempt us to leave the straight and narrow path? Does he always tempt us with, like, really bad things, or does he sometimes tempt us with kind of bad things that can take us off our straight and narrow path? Caitlin.
Little lies, like, Brenna ate the piece of cake and not me. Mm-hmm. Like little lies.
Yeah, exactly.
Sometimes saying, oh, you shouldn't go to church today because it's too early and you should just sleep in instead.
Mm-hmm.
Like what happened to Adam and Eve, like just lightly disobeying one of the Lord's commandments.
Mm-hmm. So trying to get us to not obey all the commandments, maybe just some.
And maybe just lightly disobey it.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead, Megan.
Like, he'll tempt us to be like, oh, it's just a little thing you're going to miss. It doesn't mean your whole life's going to crumble. And then we'll get in the habit of doing that, and then our life will crumble.
All right, exactly. So making little tiny bad choices that can someday turn into big bad choices, right? Yes, Caitlin.
Sometimes, like, at school, if you're on a math problem and you can't figure it out, you go, maybe I can get an answer. And then you look on someone else's paper, cheating. He can also make you cheat sometimes.
Mm-hmm. That's very true. So what can we do, then, to resist the temptations of Satan? How can we get rid of that mist of darkness? Megan.
Well, we can stay close to the gospel in the church and do our personal prayers all the time, and then we'll get so used to doing that that we won't even bother to listen to anything he says.
Mm-hmm, that's great. Wes?
Well, we can pray and ask Heavenly Father to help us find our way back to the straight and narrow path.
That's an excellent one. That's right, because any time, even if we do accidentally fall prey to those temptations, we can always make it right, can't we? We can get back on that narrow path. Yeah.
We can listen to the Holy Ghost, because he knows what's right.
Yes, absolutely. Are there any other ways that we can resist his temptations? Yes, Wes.
Read the scriptures and think about what they mean, and then that can help you just get rid of the thoughts and the bad feeling that you have.
Mm-hmm. And Daniel, go ahead.
Listen to the Holy Ghost.
Yes. Caitlin?
Sometimes when I feel Satan tempting me, I pray.
That's a good idea. We can pray. We can sing a hymn. We can build our testimony by doing all these things that you're talking about, reading the scriptures and making sure we're doing the right thing so that we believe so much that we're just super tough. We're like warriors for the Lord, right? And we're like wearing the armor of God. So all the little temptations, bing, bing, they just bounce off. Doink, doink. Too bad, Satan.
Okay. See, what I did is I had a temptation on Sunday. And I really don't like to have temptations on Sunday. So what I did is I have the discs of the songs of the children's songbook. And what I did is I wrote down my favorite ones on a piece of paper so I can go, okay, disc 3, number whatever this is, I'll just listen to them whenever I have a temptation.
That's awesome. So you can resist through music. Music helps you a lot. That's great. All right. So Tell me, what does the great and spacious building represent? Daniel.
The pride of the world.
That's exactly right. Represents the pride of the world. And sometimes that can be a pretty big pride, huh? Do you remember what the Lord said about what happens when you have big pride, like the pride of the world? Wes?
So you start thinking that you are more important than Heavenly Father, and you stop going to church, and then you start losing faith. And so eventually you're just completely lost and in the mist.
Yeah. Well, what happens to the pride of the world? Do you remember what happened to the great and spacious building?
It collapsed.
That's right. It crumbled and tumbled down. So what's going to happen to the pride of the world?
It's going to crumble.
That's right. And it does. It does crumble. If you think about history, every big civilization, like the Romans and the Egyptians and all people who get super, super, the Aztecs, right, get super fancy. They think they're the best. They think they know better than God. And what happens to them?
They crash. Yeah.
They're just a bunch of old bones in the ground now, huh? Yeah, so the pride of the world doesn't last, and it falls. So is it better to follow the pride of the world or to be eating that fruit?
Eating the fruit.
Absolutely. All right, so how will reading the Book of Mormon every day help us stay on the path back to our Heavenly Father?
It'll help us grow stronger to the gospel and to Heavenly Father so that we know what to do in a situation of a bad temptation.
That's right, and why do we have to do it every day?
So we can learn from their mistakes that the people did back then, so we can learn from them and not do them again.
That's excellent. That's a really important thing.
When you read the scriptures every day, it gains your testimony a lot stronger than it probably used to be.
Yeah. It's easy to forget stuff, huh? That's really easy. I forget stuff all the time. But if we do it every day, then we won't forget, huh? And we will remember the goodness of God. So has reading the Book of Mormon blessed you? Yeah. How has it blessed you, Caitlin?
Sometimes it helps me know what other people used to do and how they got to heaven. And sometimes it makes me think I should kind of be like them someday.
Cool. Megan?
Well, I'm the kind of person that I've been bearing my testimony ever since I could talk. And whenever I would read the scriptures, I'd be like, I look at what they had back then and look at how fortunate I am now, and it helps me build my testimony.
Sometimes the scriptures just give me good ideas, like good things to do with my family or good things to do that day. There's all sorts of wonderful things in the scriptures that can keep me close to Heavenly Father. What does the Lord promise us if we obey His commandments?
Eternal life, and we'll live up with Him again.
Yes.
We will be able to partake of the fruit.
That's right. And what is the fruit?
Our Heavenly Father's love.
That's right, the love of God. Do you remember that Heavenly Father wants happiness for His children?
Mm-hmm.
So let me ask that question again. What does the Lord promise us if we obey His commandments? TJ.
Eternal life.
Yes, and what He wants for us. What does He want for us? Megan.
To be happy.
That's right. We will have happiness and joy.
God, and He has sent me here.
We've learned so much. I hope we'll all thank Heavenly Father in our prayers for all He taught us. And I also hope we'll keep talking about the things we've learned with our families and other people we love. Next week, we'll read Chapter 7 of the Book of Mormon Stories, Building a Ship. If you'd like to listen to this program again, a grown-up can help you get a copy to play on your computer, iPod, or other music player at radio.lds.org. You can also sign up to get new episodes as soon as they're ready. If you'd like your own copies of the Scripture Stories as books or DVDs, you can find them at scripturestories.lds.org, or a grown-up can buy them at your local church distribution center. See you next week.
Scripture Power!